I'm going to do another promo. If you were not here Wednesday night, or if you did not hear the Wednesday night message, that one is going to wind up being a classic, I'm telling you. And there's going to be a lot of teaching come off of that foundation. I seldom listen to my own messages again once I teach them, but I've already listened to that one once. I'm going to be listening to it again. And so it's called, in case 10 years from now, if you're looking for it at the website, it's called The Doer and the Helper. The Doer and the Helper. So you search that and find it. All right. And really, even tonight is going to a little bit start off from that foundation. So go ahead and open up to James chapter 1. We're still going to be talking about being doers of the word and not hearers only. See, our part, we're the doers. You're never going to find where God commands the Holy Spirit to do the word. We are commanded to do the word. We're the doers. But the Holy Spirit is the helper. When the Lord says, I'm going to give you another comforter, y'all have all heard teaching along this line. You know that Greek word is parakletos. Parakletos, and it has a whole bunch of meanings, advocate, strengthener, standby, on and on and on. But normally, they translate it, one called alongside to help. You are the doer. The Holy Spirit is the helper. We are the ones that follow the commands. We're the ones in authority. But the Holy Spirit is the power. Amen? So Wednesday night, I would really, you might want to, even if you heard it, you might want to hear that one again. Start getting it straight. And you have that power now. And for those of you that were here, Cheetos dust and all, belly button showing and all, gassy or not, you have that power now. Okay. Well, let's still talk. Let's look at, really, I think the message tonight, I don't know if this is exactly the title, but I've already got this title, Going from Milk to Meat. Tonight we're going to say Converting Milk to Meat. See, I didn't look this verse up, but you know it's in there. There's one that says that there's people that are ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And they go to seminar, they go to the next seminar. They love God. They're good people. I'm a little bit like that myself. I love hearing the word. For me, it's not a big problem to get up and come to church. I like coming to church. I want to hear what God says, and sooner we're going to be saying, I want to see what God does. Say more and more, all right? But still, it's possible to be ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And I'm seeing a real key as to why now. See, to the Corinthians, and we will get to James. To the Corinthians, they came behind in no gift. Really, the only way God could use them was in the gifts. Because Paul plainly said to them, he says, you're carnal. You're babes in Christ. I would like to give you meat, but I can't. Not even now, when he was writing that letter, I can't give you meat. I can only give you milk. Well, that's real scary. Because that means everything in the letter of 1 Corinthians, everything in it is milk. Well, dear Lord, 1 Corinthians 12, that's where we get most of our information about the gifts of the Spirit. How about 1 Corinthians 13? The love chapter. Milk. Milk. And we are to desire, you know, Alan's been teaching on this, we are to desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. But see, that means God, yes, he understands growth. He understands that we're on milk. But he also understands we're supposed to grow up and someday get on meat. Well, how does that happen? That's what we're going to look at a little bit tonight. So James chapter 1. Wednesday night, I think I started with verse 22. Be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now, I'm going to go ahead and read this down to a certain place, then back up some. For if you be a hearer of the word, would you say ever learning? See, if you're a hearer of the word, okay, I want to emphasize, for if any be a hearer of the accurate word, You're hearing truth. Somebody's accurate. They're accurately delivering the word of truth to you, and you're hearing it. But you don't ever become a doer. He is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. In other words, while you're hearing it, you're hearing the truth of who you are in Christ. Everything, like Dave says, everything he is to you, through you, and in you. Amen? So while you're hearing that word of truth, the word has become like a mirror, and you're seeing yourself, Christ in you, who you really are. During that time, you behold yourself, but when you go your way, straightway you forget what manner of man you were. And the reason why is you never became a doer. You just heard it. And you're going to see this again in another witness here in just a minute. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Now here he said work. Earlier he said be a doer of the word. Sometimes doing the word requires work, not works. I love how Alan brought that out. I think it was Alan that brought that out this morning. We're not getting into vain works. We're talking about the work of the word. So you can hear about the ben. Dave can teach you like he did for us so lovingly but consistently about all the benefits of praying in other tongues. He can lay it out for you. You can sit and hear it for a year. You can hear it for 5 years. You can hear it for 10 years. But if you yourself don't ever start praying and doing the work of praying in other tongues, putting it to use, it's always going to remain milk to you. It'll never become meat. You're a forgetful hearer. You like to hear it, but you don't ever get around to doing it. And what you'll find out when you do get around to doing it, you're going to have a different problem then. Because then you become a threat to the devil, for one thing. The second thing, though, I like how Dave says it. He says, I was fine before I started praying in tongues. I liked me. I think God liked me. But I began praying in tongues. And then all of a sudden I started seeing all this ugliness in myself. Dave says it's like taking a flashlight into the attic. He said, look at all the dirt that this light brought. No, the dirt was already there. The light exposed what was already there. And that's not the end of it. Once that's exposed, now you got to deal with it. Now that's doing the work of the word too. Saying no to the flesh. Oh boy. But if you become a doer, verse 25, but if you become a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed, in the doing. See? Now here's a major work that the body of Christ, especially us right now, if you don't, no, I won't say that. I'll start to say if you don't do anything else, I want you to do a lot of other things besides this. Focus on this. I'm telling you, focus on this one. Here's a doer. You want to be a doer of the word? Do this one. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue. Bridleth not his tongue. Now, in context, bridle it with what? You bridle it with the word. Say what the word says. Say what the word says about you. Say what the word says about your healing. Say what the word says about your kids. Say what the word says about everything. You don't ever find Jesus speaking against the word. Amen? But if you're not willing to do that, you don't even need the devil to deceive you. You're deceiving your own heart. And your religion is in vain. It'll never have power. It'll never have power. All authority begins with the tongue. The exercise of authority begins with the tongue. You better learn to bridle it. Now, that's what we did Wednesday night. Let's back up a little bit to the verse that precedes that. Because this is going to launch us into a little different aspect. Because I'm looking at a room full, and I know the people listening around the world. You've been listening to Dave and Alan and myself and others for years. Let me put it this way. You got a lot of milk in you. You got a lot of milk in you. Okay, we're milk bags. We got lots and lots and lots of milk. It's not wrong to have it. We're supposed to be growing up. Okay? But he's calling us now into the harvest field. And that's where the work happens. All right? That's where we're going to go. We're going to run cancer off like a scalded dog. See? Going to be a doer of the work now. How do you... We got all this milk. We're all milk bags. How do we convert that milk to meat? How does it go from milk to meat? I don't want to be that person ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. I want to learn, come to the knowledge of the truth, and then manifest that truth everywhere that I go. Amen? Well, it starts in verse 21. See, that everything we read, we started in verse 22. Now, this really goes along with Nathan's message this morning. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness. Real King Jamesy here. And superfluity of naughtiness. Doesn't it? You know what that really is? That's the residue. That's the leftovers of wickedness that's still in your soul. Even after God delivered the people out of Egypt. He delivered the people out of Egypt in a single day. But it took a long time to get Egypt out of the people. They were longing for the world. They were, oh, that we had the food. Oh, that we had this and that. Longing for the world. Egypt is always a type of the world. See? But he said, you got to lay that apart. What if I said it this way? Nathan 101 from this morning. Wherefore, stop fornication. Isn't that what he's saying? Now notice, and receive with meekness. Now that word meekness means be teachable. How did Nathan say it this morning? He said, because his generation, he says, they go, no, I don't have to quit fornicating. Grace covers all that. I'm sorry, that's not what the word says. That's not what the word says. You're going to have to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But see, there's a resistance. We'll just stay with that one since that was the mind of Christ today. We'll just continue with that. So that generation, Nathan's apparently, they're going, no, I can commit fornication and grace covers it. See? They're not receiving the word of God. Nathan quoted that verse, you know, fornicators shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There's the word. Fornicators shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There's the word. But I'm a fornicator. You need to receive with teachability the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Be teachable. Stop it. You could apply that to alcohol. You could apply that to drugs. You could apply that to X-rated movies. You could apply it to pornography. You can apply it on and, didn't it say filthiness? On and on. You need, but see, there's something in our soul that goes, with a lot of those things, they're going, I'm not hurting anybody. It's just me. You know? I want to, God, no. No, please. Have mercy, Lord. No, I wouldn't. Okay, maybe. Did you know? Gluttony is listed equal with drunkenness. I know. Wait, just a minute while I suck it in. Yeah. I'm not hurting anybody. It's just an extra order of onion rings. Gary, you need to receive with meekness. Your flesh is running you around like a puppet. You need to receive with meekness, Gary, the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. And I can come and listen. How many years did I listen to Dave? He was so faithful every spring to lovingly beat us into fasting. Is that a good way to say it? Lovingly beat us with all that humor and all that love. Dave has a really good gift, you know. I mean, he's a great pastor. He delivers the truth with such love. I'd be thinking about his message. I heard it on Sunday. I'd be thinking of it. Now, I'm not the quickest knife or sharpest knife in the drawer anyway. But I'd be thinking about that. It might be Tuesday. I'm thinking about Sunday. And then, hey! Hey! He was getting on to me. He thinks I ought to fast and stuff. What's wrong with him? But see, Gary needs to receive with meekness the engrafted word. But I can hear that word for 10 years, and it'll stay milk. It will stay milk till I ever become a doer of the word. Now, okay, I think we're through there. Go over to Hebrews now, back up to Hebrews. Chapter 5. We're going to look at milk to meat here now. Converting milk to meat. Okay, starting in Hebrews 5:12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers. By the way, you don't need to have the office of a teacher to be a teacher. Each of you should be discipling somebody, if possible. You can share your witness, start somewhere. By this time you ought to be teachers, and this is written not to the fivefold ministry, this is written to believers. So, you ought to be teachers. You have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. You become such as has need of milk, now notice, and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. It doesn't mean they don't know the word of righteousness. It doesn't mean they haven't heard the word of righteousness, but they're unskillful in it. Well, why would they be unskillful? Verse 14. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. Well, how did they get that way? Even those who by what? Reason of use have their senses exercised. That word means disciplined, like at the gym, to discern both good and evil. See, the guy over there in James, he says, you just need to receive the engrafted word. I'm going to stay with Nathan. If you're fornicating, you need to receive the word that fornicators shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You just need to stop it. Well, I don't think I need to. Well, you need to receive with meekness the engrafted word. So being a doer of the word in that case would be what? Stop fornicating. And at first your body ain't going to like it. Your emotions are not going to like it. Anyway, I don't want to get into all that. You're not going to like it. You're doing it just because I'm receiving it with meekness, because it's the word of God. Nothing in my senses agree with this. I don't want to agree with this, but I'm just receiving it with meekness. I'm going to do what it says, even though I don't really totally agree with it. But by that process, eventually even your senses will be exercised. You could say the same thing with fasting. I didn't really obey it for years. When I finally started obeying it, all hell broke loose. My body said it was going to kill me. I don't know about you, you know. I mean, it thought I was crazy. What's wrong with you? You know, you're too old to start this anyhow. Talk to Daisy about that. You know? But you know what? I found out after a while, I started getting revelation knowledge. I started finding out only by being a doer. Never would have found it out. And the way he said it through me, one day my spirit man spoke up. When I heard this sentence come out of my mouth, I wanted to ask, who was that? Because I heard this sentence come out of my mouth. It says, fasting is very good, for it finally is putting my body underneath my spirit. And I went, who said that? That's that new man on the inside of me. Or my mind is just getting renewed to it. That my new man knew the whole time, maybe. See, it's our soul that has to receive this engrafted word. It's our soul that's progressively being saved. You got saved instantly. Your spirit went from death to life. But progressive is the soul. But now, do you see this? He says, you know what this says? That How did they go? They went backwards. He says, you guys by this time ought to be teaching. But you become like those that need milk again. Meaning, at one time, they might have been on meat. But look at it the way it's worded. You have become such as has need of milk. Meaning that the implication to me is, well, they were on meat. Now they're back to milk. They quit doing the word. They quit doing the word. Peter talks about that. He says, if you were delivered from the lust of the world, and then over time, like the dog returning to its vomit and the pig going back to the mire, the condition of that man is worse than the guy that never even knew the word of righteousness. Same thing, word of righteousness. See? Now, you have become such as has need of milk and not of strong meat. Everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. What is making them unskillful? Their hearers only. It's not that they haven't heard it, but they're not doing it. And the word of righteousness. And it goes beyond just the obvious sins. Again, I'm thinking of Nathan. See, a word of righteousness. He just kept praying in tongues. He never heard a voice booming in him. Charlton Heston probably. Thou shalt move to Tulsa. But that leadership grew in him like a tree. And eventually it was so clear he knew the word of righteousness. If he wanted to stay in God's plan, he had to move to Tulsa. Nothing in him wanted to do it. You see that? He could have stayed. What if he was still there? What if I was still driving the trucks? He'd still be wanting me to get out. God's not going to change. His plan is not going to change. Now, you can delay it as long as you want to, but it's going to remain milk. It's going to remain milk until you act on it. Now, I don't want to leave that. I want to make sure I get nail this down now before we go one more. Everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. The reason they are, I'm going to say it how many times, the reason that it does not mean they don't know it. They're unskillful. It'd be like if all you ever did, say you wanted to become a martial arts guy in judo. That's a good one, right? Judo. And you read every book on judo. I'm saying that's probably a good thing. Read the books. And you think you're a black belt. You've never once got into a match with anybody. But you're a, quote, expert. Well, you're just a spurt. You step into the arena with someone who is skillful. And see, you both have read the books. You both have knowledge. But one is skillful with it and one is not. And how did he become skillful? By reason of use. Be you doers of the word and not hearers only. See that guy that wanted to keep fornicating and he doesn't understand why the word would say this? Well, you know, but if that's what the word says, I'm going to quit. And everything in him still wants to fornicate and wants to do all that. But if he'll continue in the word of righteousness, the day will come and pray in tongues and meditate the word. What's happening? He's conforming to the image of Christ. Well, Christ hates iniquity and loves righteousness. The day will come, he will hate fornication. Hate it himself. At first, he just had to receive it with meekness or teachability. Okay, I'll just do it because the word says do it. But you keep on with this, and that won't be the way it is. You'll become skillful yourself. You'll train your own senses. If you look that up, it means senses. It means your five physical senses. It means your body. What you see, what you perceive. It doesn't mean internal. It means what you see, what you feel, what you touch. You want to train your senses to know good from evil by reason of use. Use of what? Using the word of righteousness. Not ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. I want to show you this in practice. Go to John chapter 4. Now we're talking about how the Word becomes meat, converting the milk of the Word to meat of the Word in you. Okay? Now, John chapter 4 is where we have the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman that Jews didn't normally talk to, and Dave has taught us out of this passage so many times. You all know the whole story about the woman in the well, and here, go and get your husband. I don't have a husband, you've rightly said, and you've been married how many times? You know, you've had, five husbands, I think, and the one you're with now is not your husband, okay? And she had a great revelation. I perceive you are a prophet. Well, yeah. I love that. All right, let's pick it up, though, in verse 27. Now, she's already, they've had that conversation, five husbands. She has gone into town and telling everybody. And now the town people are coming. She's bringing a whole herd of people from the town out to Jesus. Here's a group of people coming, a fresh group that have not heard the gospel, not ever. And they're coming. About that same time, his disciples who went into town to the Quick Trip to get some sandwiches and soda pop. But anyway, they went to get food. They have arrived back from getting the food. They weren't there during this whole thing. So let's go pick it up in verse 27. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what? Well, hang on just a minute. Yes. Okay. Actually, she brought the people after this. I got a little bit out of sequence. Okay. Anyway, so let's back up. Let's get it right. Let's pick it up in verse 20. She's talking with him. She says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. For the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. How seldom did he do that? He seldom did that one-on-one with a person. Now right there is when upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? See, she's a Samaritan. The Jews normally wouldn't even talk to her. The woman then left her water pot. Okay, I'm okay. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the man, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Okay, so I had it right the first time. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. So now here comes all these people. They've never heard the gospel. Jesus has never spoken with them. But he's got this little Samaritan evangelist now. She went in and just telling what just happened. And you've got people coming to hear from Jesus. Okay? Right there, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. They had left to go get food. Now, they're talking natural meat. Natural food. Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Now, is he talking natural food? He's talking spiritual food, right? Therefore said the disciples one to another, well, has any man brought him aught to eat? They're talking natural food. Jesus tells them about spiritual food. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Be you a doer of the work. Are y'all seeing this? By reason of use, have your senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Go from milk to meat. If you've been hooked up with Dave very long, with Dave's ministry, you're a milk bag. I'm a milk bag. We got more milk. We got enough milk to save the whole world. But he is calling us now to go from milk to meat. And the only way that's ever going to happen, I'll be honest with you at this point, you don't need another conference about praying in other tongues. You don't need another conference about stop fornicating. You don't need another conference about fasting or anything. If you've been hooked up here very long, you're a milk bag. Like us, and he's saying, it's time to convert that milk to meat. We have meat to eat, but it's when we start doing the Word of God. And that's what James was saying. He's saying, be you a doer of the Word. Become skillful in the Word of Righteousness. See, what will happen to the guy, again, going back to Nathan this morning with the fornication, what will happen to that guy? At first, he's unskillful. Well, it's like the judo guy. You might read every book on judo that there is, but honey, there's a big difference between having that knowledge and getting into the ring with a black belt. You're going to find out you're not so skilled. It's milk to you. But you do have it on the inside. Memories, thoughts, what to do is going to come to you as you get into that. And with practice, you become skillful. Well, I went and laid hands on so-and-so and they died. Well, I love how this one person put it. Says, why don't you pray for the sick? Well, I'm afraid they won't get healed. Okay, so right now you're being disobedient to the command of Jesus to lay hands on the sick and are not getting healed. Yeah? Well, what if you became obedient and laid hands on the sick and they still didn't get healed? At least you'd be obedient. I like that. I'm thinking, why be disobedient when I could be obedient? And sure, just like the guy stepping into the judo ring, I might be unskillful in the beginning. I might learn a few things along the way. But even if I get the snot beat out of me the first time, y'all know what that, it's bad language, but you know what I mean. You know, you get into the ring with a judo master, that's not going to be the most pleasant experience you ever had. Okay? Now, to be honest with you, I don't think we should ever lose one. What I'm saying is, if you do, that does not give you a license to quit. Because the Word does not change. It's going to say the same thing tomorrow when you get up that it says today. Lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That's never going to happen. We can keep going to seminars. Our milk bag can get bigger and bigger and bigger. Someday you got to step into the ring. Someday you got to step into it. And I believe in Jesus. We have the name that's above every. I don't believe we have to lose any. But even if you do, worse comes to worse, and you lose that round, that does not give you a license to quit. That does not give you a license to change the Word either. Amen? We are going to become skillful in the handling of the Word of Righteousness to the point that we ourselves are walking righteous, not as a matter of obedience, but as a fruit of who we really are. See, the real Christ in you, Ephesians, go ahead, we might as well go to Ephesians. Did you all get that? I have meat to eat. Well, what is that meat? To do the will of God. Or you could say, to do the Word of God. Amen? That's your meat. My meat is to hear it. No, that's milk. I just want to hear, Brother Gary. I don't get out. No, I don't want to lay no hands on nobody. Never. Talk to Jesus. Because he said believers will lay hands on the sick. And he also said they will recover. I was listening to a testimony today. I'll bring more of this later. But I was listening to this guy who's been in healing for a long time. And he says, you know, you can cook your own goose by asking for too many details. He says, a lot of times those details don't help your faith. He gave an example. He says, I was just starting off. I was pretty young in these things, you know, but I just knew I had the name that's above every name. And I prayed for this guy. And actually, he says, I prayed for him three times. You know, it was early on. He said, I prayed and I'd walk away and pray in tongues. I'd come back and prayed for him. The guy had a bad back. That's all he knew. Just had a bad back. You know, so I went and I prayed for him. But we didn't see anything manifest at that time. I told him to touch his toes. He couldn't do it. You know, it looked like failure. But this meeting went on for several days. But the next night he comes in and he's in the pastor's office and getting ready to go do the meeting. And they said, hey, somebody wants to see you. And it's that guy he prayed for the night before. And he comes in, he says, hey, look at me. And he starts touching his toes, you know, bending over. The guy that had the bad back that couldn't touch his toes. He said, look at this. Today I can do all this. I'm touching my toes. And, you know, this guy telling the testimony, he's going, man, that's really good. I'm so glad. And the guy, he was just ecstatic going, no, you don't understand. I'm touching my toes. And he goes, that's really good. God said you'd be healed. He says, you don't understand. I had a steel rod in my back. A steel rod. When I woke up this morning, the rod was in the bed with me. He says, I am so glad when I prayed that I did not know that man. he said, but to God it's no problem at all. I just gave the command, be healed in the name of Jesus. Back, be healed. And did it like three times or something, you know. That's all I did. He said, I don't know that my faith could have handled it if I'd have known that guy had a steel rod in his back. But to God, God not moved by no steel. Doesn't affect God at all. Guy wakes up with the rod in his bed. Oh my Lord. What kind of miracles are we going to see? I'm excited about this. Amen. And he was really talking along these same lines. He says, you've got to someday put down the training. You got to get into the arena. See, again, I like that judo thing or boxing. You know, I'm not into martial arts, obviously, but whatever it is, flying an airplane. David used flying an airplane all the time. You could become an expert. When really an expert on anything, just a spurt. But what I mean is, you could read every manual. You could read every manual that there is. You can memorize the manuals. And I'm all about the manual. You know I love the word. Finally, you get up in that airplane. And the trainer says you have the controls. And you've never done anything. What if the trainer's controls go out? And you're the only one with controls. We don't want to be one of those guys that says, hey, I just learn about this stuff. I can't do it. Yeah. No. Be you doers of the word. Be you doers of the word. Trembling and haltingly, put the gloves on. Get into the ring. Know you're going to take some licks probably. But become skillful in the handling of the word of righteousness. Become skillful at it. Yes, sir. I was going to go somewhere else, but I don't think it's his mind tonight. That was me. A really strong verse. I think I can find it. This is an amazing verse. I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It might be 2 Corinthians. No, I don't know. 1 Corinthians, let's try it. Alan used it this morning. Yeah, it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Turn there. This is perfect. It's just perfect. It's amazing how the mind of Christ, the thread of that mind will run through all three services. And none of us know what the other one's going to teach, you know. But look at this. It's perfect for this service. See, we're talking about training. We're talking about going from theory to practice. We're talking about not ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. We're talking about sometime you're going to have to step into the ring. Amen? Well, Paul is kind of talking about that here in 1 Corinthians 9 and starting in verse 24. Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain. Now, if you didn't hear Alan this morning, he said, I had a problem with this verse and for years because I thought it was talking about competition amongst ourselves. And he says, I have lots of verses against that. And don't be comparing yourself with other people and stuff. He says, but in context here, the race you're running is with your own flesh. Who's going to win this thing, your spirit or your flesh? Okay. Every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, like at the Olympics, but we an incorruptible. Now, this is Paul himself, Paul the Apostle, the one that we admire so much, the one that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And he says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beats the air. Now, the picture I get there is shadow boxing. You know, one thing that never intimidates me is my own shadow. I'm willing to shadow box any time. Because if you get hit by a shadow, it don't hurt. He says, I'm not in that kind of fight. See, when you're fighting against your flesh, you're going to get hit back. You see that? You're going to get hit back. This is not... Sometime you're going to have to step in now. And then we're going to go beyond that to where we step in the ring with devils. See, like that lunatic boy. I heard somebody recently say, this is a war between two kingdoms. The kingdom of darkness says, he's mine, and you can't do a thing about it, church. I am so tired of the devil taunting us like that. We're going to step into the ring and say, I got the name of Jesus. It's above every name. In the name of Jesus, you come out of him. This is a war between two kingdoms, and we're going to win. But he's got to have some skillful fighters. And he says, therefore I run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as not shadow boxing, not one beating the air. Now here it is. I keep under my body. Who does it? The Holy Ghost does it. Jesus does it. I do it. I keep under my body. My body wants to fornicate. Shut up. My body wants to get drunk tonight. Shut up. My body wants to have to, so what's that thing I saw? My body wants chicken fried tacos. Taco Bell's, instead of a shell, they got a shell made out of fried chicken. I came straight from the pit of hell, I'm telling you now. Because I know it did because my flesh goes, we got to leave right now and get four of them right now. Don't go to church, just go straight to Taco Bell. You know, it's a shell made out of fried chicken. Come on. But I have to keep under my body. Now this is Paul. Paul. I keep under my body and bring it under subjection. Body, you will obey me. Lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, if you want to get something really scary, when Jesus was talking about the angels and the end times, and they're going to come and they're going to gather the wheat and the tares, and they're going to gather it all into one thing, and then they're going to separate the good from the bad. You look up that word, the bad are castaways. This is real serious. Real serious. Let's become skillful. Let's start stepping into the ring. Not ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Start putting to use all this milk, not that we haven't, but more so, putting to use, doing all this that we have learned all these years. And by reason of use, we become skillful in the handling of the word of righteousness. First, it brings us in line, brings our bodies in line, but then it's going to come to getting others set free from whatever the enemy's done to them. Amen? This is a war between two kingdoms. Our kingdom wins. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah.